Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you think I'm annoying you today because it's been... Because clearly
I am.
Who said
that?
You said it about three times in the last 45 minutes. You keep going, she's really getting on my nerves today. I'm like, why am I not doing anything? Do you think it's because we're at the end of quite a long stretch of recording, or am I just annoying?
Oh, I mean, bingo. No, I feel like at the end of a series, because this is the end of series two now, and we only started this in March, and I feel like I've got this incredible opportunity with my mother to sit here and educate myself through the stories of others.
Yeah.
And I really can't believe I've got a job where I can do that, because I think it's the most important way to learn other people's stories and the stories of their life and what they have to impart. Yeah. To me and to you. I just feel like I've learned so much. I feel like I've had a million teachers over the course of making this.
It's like an unexpected bonus of making this podcast. I thought, oh, great. We get to share this thing that we do really well, that we've always done all our lives, with other people and have great conversations, and other people will enjoy things, and hopefully things will become elucidated for them. Some things will be highlighted and other people will get stuff from it. I forgot how much we would get from it.
Yeah.
I've got so much from it, just talking to everybody. It's been really, what a lovely gift.
The best thing is when you create something and you don't know you're going to get so much from it as well. I know you're an amazing broadcaster, but we haven't done interviews together maybe since we did the Caribbean show, and that was just us talking to people. So to sit down and, I think in the beginning I was quite nervous.
We've never done this.
I was quite nervous to do my job in front of you, because usually we're working together.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, there's still a job to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And we kind of, when it's good, not today, when it's good, no, today was great, but when it's good, it is like we're dancing.
Annie and Reggie, that was the summer. They bought us presents.
It was such a beautiful way to start. Beautiful way to start. We talked about the music industry and about, you know, the broadcasting industry and Radio One.
Misogyny. Kind of,
yes, and being women in this industry and loving yourself.
Confidence. There was a core of that interview about confidence and self-awareness and allowing yourself to let go of the terrible things we tell ourselves about ourselves. I remember that very, very well and very deeply. It really hit hard. And what was beautiful, obviously, Annie Mac is a genuine superstar individual. Reju, a revelation.
Yeah.
She was incredible. And that partnership was exactly why I love our guests to bring somebody with them.
I clung to people like Reju. So when you find people who are real and you know are people you can trust and people are real, there's an instinct there to keep them close.
Yes,
you know,
so important, actually. God, yeah, I think. Did you feel that responsibility in part as part of your friendship?
Poor Reggie.
Got my responsibility. About that,
no, look, I'm the eldest sibling in my family, and I think there's always a level of like you want to protect the people around you,
yeah,
and you want to like teach them and help them. So me and Annie lived together. There was only really us two, and we felt like it was just us two kind of against the world. So I think, yeah, there's been moments of real talk.
You know, you're so good.
Real talk, Reggie.
Reggie was so So Real Talk Reggie would say, that person is only talking to you because they would think they can, you know, look better beside you or get something off you. And you know, it's never done in any way, cruel way. It's always just quite, you know, but it's like, I think they're not.
Just
watch it. Just
But also, I think because we both worked in radio and in production, it was also from a creative outlook as well. And does this look right? Or is this the right thing you want to go to? How is that going to advantage you?
Is this the path you want to take?
Mel and Shazanay coming here.
Well, I can call Shazanay Lewis a friend.
Shaz.
We'd never met Shazanay, and we have a connection to All Saints because of my uncle and making the huge All Saints album. So we'd know Mel, and we just never met Shazanay. But of course, she sits down. It was like, oh, there you are.
Oh, there you are. Because we did in fact meet, but she was really young and you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really beautiful. And Mel, of course, I see a lot and I adore her. So again, Shazanay was a revelation.
Yeah, to have Mel, someone that we know so well, be with someone that is her sistren. I just saw the love between them and I know what that's like. You know, we've all got those friendships where you've been through enough together.
Yeah.
And them talking about All Saints Road and being like 19, I was like, God, all of it started like where I'm from, on the streets that I'm from. I didn't know that. It was, I really suddenly, they painted the most beautiful picture of that time in London.
My favourite bit was when Mel went, I didn't want to be famous, I just wanted to be famous in Grove. I thought that was hysterical.
How old were you when you met then?
18.
Yeah. Right. Where?
On All Saints Road.
On All Saints
Road. No! Come on now. In my end.
Yes. Hence the name.
Yeah.
Oh. Duh.
I have never known that. Correct. Hysterical. Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You really never know that.
No.
And that's like very funny.
Makes so much sense, and what a great name for a band.
We hated the name.
Oh, right.
Did you? We did.
We did everything that we could to change. Change it.
Yeah,
adding that numbers at the end.
All Saints 101.
1975.
Why 1975?
That was the year we were born.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All Saints 1975.
Because at the time it was like SWVTOC 702. Da, 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 right. Like that, 1975.
It needs a number. It needs a number.
Lem Sisse and Sabrina. Now that was another moment. From the moment we opened the door, and Lem had somehow managed to turn the sculpture things upside down in the garden and look like a naughty 5-year-old.
Yes.
And that giggle that he's got.
Well, this is the thing. I think Lem Sisse is such a renowned poet and writer. And as he said, that when we saw him sort of on the circuit of promoting different things, he said, it's really nice to be out in the world with this book called Let the Light Pour In.
Yeah.
And he sort of was in the middle of pouring light all over the country. It was a great time to interview him. His book had just come out. But I think what people will have learnt from that or noticed is that he's quite giggly and quite playful.
I'm remembering Cheltenham Literature Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
When was that?
Oh, that was 2019.
2019. And I interviewed you for Sky Arts.
Had my book just come out?
Your book had just come out. My Name Is Why just came out.
I say my book.
One of your books.
I don't like to talk about my books, but while we're on it, I wonder which of the many we
very
made it
successful.
But now, come on. If we're going to talk in the week that your book of poetry, your incredible new piece of work, has gone in number 6 Sunday Times bestseller,
let the light pour in.
I feel flushed with light.
How soon into the relationship did you cut Lem's hair?
Straight away.
As soon as I sat in front of you, Lem being Lem.
Yeah.
It was like, are those teeth real?
I'm just fascinated by
those teeth in your head. Are they real? But then you were like coming up, getting more, even more visible with your career.
I have now bought that book, by the way, about 15 times because I keep giving it away.
I bought it this weekend 3 times and gave it to 3 different people.
Yeah, I just keep going, you know what you need? Let the light pour
totally.
In. I'm just getting it.
Totally. I got it for Jesse, Simon Amstel, and Jesse's parents.
And anybody listening to this, we haven't got it yet. Go get it.
Let the light pour in.
Let
your
it
life.
In. Pour it in. Tamsin, and who Tayo is calling the naughtiest guest we've ever had. She is, Fee Cotter Craig, is one of the naughtiest, smartest most insightful human beings that I know.
I think I thought I knew who Tamsin Athwaite was because I knew who Mel from EastEnders was. And she's just...
Turns out she's an actress, totally a different person.
Multi-layered human being with so much to share. And I love, yeah. My favourite thing that Tamsin said is, I'm kind of in love with myself right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a great place to be. When you joined EastEnders, you weren't just in EastEnders, you were like the centre of these huge plot lines for about 5 years. Was it late 90s, early noughties?
98.
I
went into the show.
That's right.
Before camera phones.
Yeah.
But during News of the World days and people sat outside your house with long lenses.
Did they used to do that to you?
Yeah. They used to. Oh yeah.
My God.
But what you didn't have is everything.
Everybody taking pictures
constantly
of you all the time.
Taking. So I think we were more hermits. We'd either be out or we'd be in with the shutters closed because there'd be someone outside.
Because EastEnders
was
is
it
just
really
a,
that bad?
Yeah.
Because EastEnders is just a different kind of being famous. It's like you're in
it
everyone's
then,
home
yeah.
every night, and it's what 18 million people
well,
watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Mel getting married to Ian Beale.
Oh my gosh, she did, yeah.
On New Year's Eve for the millennium, I got a feeling that 23 million people watched it.
No.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it was
and there was a screen in Trafalgar Square with the whole thing showing where everyone was crowded round. And I was away because I wanted to get out of the country with my family. And I remember someone phoning me from Leicester Square going, you can hear a pin drop.
And it's because everybody was voice.
Because they're going all through the, I do. Whatever, awful acting I was doing.
Grimmy and Mish. Mish, who never does anything. Grimmy's partner, his fiancé.
Fiancé. And sorry, Mish does have a huge career. He's an incredible dancer.
He's a choreographer, dancer, extraordinary
human.
He
doesn't do things with
Grimmy. He does not do interviews. He doesn't do stuff. They don't do things together as a couple. So I felt very honoured that he agreed to do it. Although
well,
I
introduced them, so they had to.
I also badgered them really badly on the phone. I kept going, come on, do it.
No, Mish was really pleased he did it. And you know, I actually don't think it's the funnest thing in the world interviewing people you really know.
No, it can be quite tricky.
Yes, but that I found really easy, and I realised there was so much I wanted to ask about their relationship that I might not have asked if we were just in the pub.
You and Grimmy both got a bit weepy and you're talking about his lovely dad.
Yeah, I think for me and Grimmy right now, our relationship's in a place because we're both 39 where it's just like you start to not be able to believe how long you've known someone. And why do
nice
you want me
that.
To marry you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean... Are well, you going to marry him?
Yeah, Makia's going to be the priest.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
The vicar in Farrakhan.
We already know what she's wearing.
Yeah, we've got
the
outfit.
We've gone through
what are you wearing? Hooded lilac see-through Maximilian Davis.
Yeah, we saw it at a fashion show.
Oh,
and with Makia, and we were like, that's it.
We've secured it.
Cool, Max. We're like,
the bitch, Makia the bitch.
But we do want Keats to marry us, genuinely. Keats and I had a night out. And Keats introduced me to Mish.
Of course she did.
So
but I didn't know Mish.
No. You just sort of, you know, you were like, that's your husband. Yeah. Go and talk to him. And I was like, no.
Well, me and Keats got chatting before me and you got chatting, which is kind of also partly why the setup of Keats marrying us is perfect.
Oh, my God.
Because I met you
know
before
she's
I met
cry.
And also...
I am going to cry.
Also, you're a good orator. So there's a connection and
it's my job.
Pretty
having a broadcast,
pretty good at broadcasting. So, do you know what I mean?
Okay,
do you know what I mean? You got a professional up there.
Let's do this
in the hooded see-through gown. So it's just gonna be a really simple wedding with Makita. Makita starting the ceremony completely topless and very traditional.
We called Charlotte Mensah the hair liberation artist.
Yeah, and she's just got a regal quality to her. Yeah. But when she was here, she sat down and I thought, oh my God, we've just been talking so much about black hair and that experience in the industry with Sabrina, who had come with Lem. And I thought, I guess we've said enough now. Let's not. And then I thought, what the? No, this topic isn't even kind of unpicked. And actually, it's forever evolving, this topic. And actually, I had 25 years of life without this topic being mentioned.
Very interesting to meet Sabrina and Charlotte in the same arc of time, because they are from the same genesis. The way they think about hair, the way they approach people's hair. Like Sabrina doesn't just do, you don't make an appointment going to get your hair done. She has to meet you and know all about your life. Charlotte Mensah is the same. She needs to know about your life and then she can work out where she's going to help you take your hair. Charlotte has me thinking, and Sabrina have me thinking, I'm going to grow my hair. And well, I haven't had those thoughts for a long time.
It was all about the safety and nurture within those conversations, mm. because those conversations aren't as easy as people think to talk about the way you see yourself and your beauty, mm. And the way you see your hair and what you've been through with it. So much so that I then asked Charlotte and her team to wrap my hair for the British Fashion Awards.
And how did you
I felt so looked after
you
by
you were
their
like
team.
Nefertiti beauty, oh. Makita. That is an incredible picture.
Thank you, Mum.
An incredible look. And it wasn't just because you had a great dress and a good hair wrap on. It was because the whole thing was fully connected. Yes. So, and that is where the magic lies. That's where beauty lies. The beauty is when the inside and the outside are completely connected and plugged in to each other, and that's when you shine. And that, in those pictures, you are literally glowing.
Thank you, Mum. Charlotte Mentor and her team took me to that glow.
They, right,
they guided me to that.
Can you explain what threading is to people?
So threading is when you use cotton. It's a form of like braiding, and you kind of do like
shapes.
Geometric shapes, mm. and you can turn them into like.
You can twist
different.
It,
yeah,
and do it. So it's almost like it's wired.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And I mean, I got laughed at for the same hairstyle I did for Erykah Badu. In 2017, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
And you're like, wow.
You're like, this has gone viral. I'm like, oh my God.
Late as usual.
I went through so much pain for the same hair, but now it's like fashion.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Our first mother guest on Stirring Up, and I hope many more
to
come.
I've been finally, somebody brought their mum.
I felt really pleased that Jimmy felt like this was the right space to bring Nikki. She's a very, you know, traditional old school Nigerian woman from South London. They drove all the way across London, and she brought us gifts, and she looked nice.
Told him off all the way.
It was a really, I was like, that made me feel like, proud of us that we've created a space that people trust and want
someone like their mother to come
and experience.
Me
and,
too.
And it feels really good. After that, Nikki went, oh, this was so nice.
She did.
Oh, this was good. I love this.
And she bought a lovely little bag of presents with like little rums and
that's
gorgeous.
That's what I mean. It
bits.
Felt like a real little dinner party.
Yeah.
Right?
And Jimmy's funny because Jimmy Famuyiwa and me have only met once when I went and did his podcast. I thought I knew him so much that when I needed to go to a restaurant, I sent him a message going, what restaurant should I go to, Jimmy? And he sent me a whole list of stuff. And I was like, oh, cheers, darling. Thank you.
Well, he's like you in the fact that he lives for it. Like
he does live for it, but he's also got that thing where you think you already know him. That's his artistry, actually. And that's what makes him brilliant at what he does. I think he's such a fantastic broadcaster and the most brilliant writer. And it's because he has a real connection to humanity, the food that he loves. When he talks about food, whether it's like a Michelin restaurant or whether it's like the new like little hole in the wall thing that he's found, he's a brilliant man, and I was so happy to meet his mum.
Cooking jollof rice for my like kids and then being like, did grandma make this? Or because I just can't come close.
So
I just can't.
Oh my God.
No one can. I don't know how she does it.
We're going to have to reverse this, and I need to come to you.
She's
so
such
you can
a
make
talent.
Me some
yes,
show.
Actually, if I had time, I was going to make a little bowl of
jollof.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my God. Nikki.
She's kidding. Do you know what? I will bet you any money that there's some oil in her food. There's some vegetable oil. There's some Tupperware.
I've got
there's probably like a base sauce.
Miss Anne Harriman and his wife Camilla. Miss Anne sounds... Do you know who Paul Robeson is? Paul Robeson. Well, he was a teacher. He was an activist. He was a singer. He was an extraordinary man. He had to leave America in McCarthyism because they really, really went for him. And weirdly, he spent a lot of time in Wales. And there's an old black and white English film of Paul Robeson singing Wales. Anyway, Paul Robeson has this legendary voice that is deep,
yes,
and rolling and resonant. And Miss Anne has that voice.
Yeah, it feels like Aslan's talking.
Exactly that. Exactly that. And Miss Anne
brought his beautiful wife Camilla.
Beautiful wife Camilla. And we had all that Swedish connection. Proper. I was really happy that I met her, and I could say more than I've just been to Stockholm. We could talk about Skåne and Hässleholm, yeah, and Malmö and Torgarp, yeah, and all southern Sweden.
And seeing their relationship, they were so honest and open about how they'd met as two very broken younger people, and they'd really built each other. They take care of each other.
They do.
Moment
to moment, yes, they take care of each other. And it's really interesting to me that Miss Anne, and I think fascinating to him, that he's the chair of the South Bank. For him to be the chair of the South Bank, to be the photographer that he is, to hold the position that he does within the world that he lives in, you know, where people like Meghan and Harry will only have him take their picture, that Kate Winslet is like, this is the best picture I've ever had taken by us. He does get you to breathe into being yourself.
To look inwards.
Yes, and because he does that, all of his photos have that extraordinary deep vulnerability about them. And to have him here, he doesn't do interviews much.
No.
And he certainly doesn't do interviews with his wife. So again, it was a real honour that they came to sit at our table.
Fine. How did you guys meet?
It was at a family friend's wedding, Kensington Palace in the Orangery.
Yeah.
Which friend?
Excuse me. Yeah, no. Right. Yeah. That's very casual. The Orangery, oh my God, I love it, because I went to Holland Park School. So.
Oh, yeah.
I used to walk past it. It was so beautiful.
Beautiful. Close family friend. And his now wife went to school.
With me in Malmö. Yeah.
In Malmö. And she's half Russian, half Nigerian.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we were on the singles corner. No, I was in the singles corner. Bit.
Yes. No, Miss Anne was put at the end. You know how they always put someone at the end because they know they can manage to talk to everyone and make it work.
Right, Miss Anne. So I was going to say, singles table's already a bit of a books.
Yeah.
Like, you go there. And then to be put on the end of the singles table. I get it.
Charity case.
Exactly. And I wiped yourself down the table.
Yeah, I kind of chatted to everyone and saw you. And I think I asked you to have a cigar with me outside.
Yeah.
You had a
sexy question.
Have you only spoken for about 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You were heading home.
Yeah, and you thought I was a bit of a dick.
I did. But it's funny, I thought Miss Anne was arrogant. He's the least arrogant person out there. I think there's culture differences, because Swedish people can be so reserved. You're not supposed to talk too much or show what you got or whatever it is. And Miss Anne is like an open book. He's visual. Yeah. She's like, I'm living in this house, showing pictures and doing this and that. And his whole life, I was like, yeah. And I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah. So you thought he was showing off, but yeah, he's just being very open, exactly, very quickly.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was like, this is me.
Yes.
And it's quite funny, because, you know, when we started dating, we both were on dating apps, and we looked at our profiles. And mine was too honest, because I put, what did I put?
You know, he had zero matches. But he was
zero matches.
But he had this blurry selfie that he's taken in the car. I can kind of see that was him.
It's a nice picture.
It's a lovely picture. And then it was like, I love Starry Nights. I want to own a Hungarian Bishla one day.
Aww.
And I'm a big nerd. And actually, all these things, three things are true. But
so
I think
cute.
In terms of online dating, I don't know.
It was the truth.
But it should work
better
than
really
it did.
That's really cute.
This is why I don't like online dating.
Yes.
You tell the truth and you get no matches. Yeah, yeah. It's better to go in the world and find real magic, which you did.
Angela Hartnett.
And crew,
and Kate were fantastic.
Yeah, it was really nice to have a load of chefs over for Christmas. That's kind of always, I always read those supplements when the chefs tell you like what's in their kitchen and what they're cooking for Christmas. So it felt really appropriate. A load of chefs and me and Kate.
But you know what I love about Angela Hartnett? Angela Hartnett is a mogul. She's got four restaurants. She's got more than one Michelin star. The woman is a rock star.
A powerhouse.
And she you've never met a person wear it so lightly. She doesn't talk about it. She doesn't really care. She cares about the food. She cares about how she makes people feel.
She cares about her
team.
And
she cares about the quality. She cares about her team. She doesn't really care about the plaudits. And I think that's what makes her so unbelievably special. And I love Lee.
But it's kind of crazy because she's not just that, all those things. She's also now quite a prolific broadcaster.
She does The Dish.
Does The Dish with Grimmy. And then when she does her week on Great British Menu with you as the veteran chef, I've seen her really blossom in that role as well.
Because you have that coming through restaurants background, what was it like at the beginning when you were like 22, 23?
It was sort of nuts because we were working stupid hours all the time and it was loads of blokes all the time. You know, you didn't really ever make any sort of girlfriends in restaurants because there were no other people working in the kitchens.
Really? Right.
But, you know, I'll never regret doing it. I look back now at great fondness. At the time, I mean, I remember fessing up to Gordon recently that I used to cycle to work because it was like 6 days away and hope on a Monday morning I'd come around and like see a fire engine to think, you know, and hope like the restaurant had burned down or something, you know. And he said to me, he looked at me and goes, what's the matter? I said, Gordon, it was really hard. You know? Yeah, I would have loved a few weeks off where it had to be rebuilt, you know.
A flood, you know.
I didn't want death. I just wanted something happening to do.
Some sort of disaster. So you could get some sleep.
Yeah. Zari Ashton, finally on the other side of the table to you.
Finally.
The stalking can end.
Yes,
she's
yes.
here.
Oh, she's finally my friend.
She was a genius. I mean, what a... absolutely brilliant woman.
Could have also, genuinely talked to her for 3 more hours.
How long? It was like it was double the length of a normal podcast and we were not finished. So
no way. But then we realised that we can just be friends.
We can just talk without people recording it, and that was a real relief because I thought, oh my God, we're not finished. We've got other stuff to talk about.
Am I never going to see Zoe Ashton again?
It's like, it's all right. You don't have to record it. It's fine. Should we talk about your Zowie obsession now?
In a minute. Okay, I'll talk about the Zowie obsession. So we did a McVitie's job, a campaign. It was great.
It was a mental health thing called, about talking.
Be kind to your mind.
Be kind to your mental.
This is about 4 years ago. Basically, I wanted my career back, Zowie. And mum was...
We can talk about the Makita Sons.
Makita Sons.
Which I'm obsessed with.
Makita Sons.
Beyonce's having her Renaissance. Makita's having her Makita Sons. I like it.
Thanks, Zowie.
So in the middle of this, so we was just us chatting over biscuits, basically. And then there were some questions they gave us. And one of the questions was, who do you really admire? Do you think is amazing?
And I said, oh, I don't want that because I really don't know. And she said, well, there is someone you want to shut up about at the moment. And I said, well, Zowie Ashton. She was like, yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I really respect that she is producing and directing and writing. I just love that you were always doing something else and using the fact that you'd had this lengthy career of so many different things and using it to just kind of have autonomy in different things. And it felt like you had freedom and you were doing really well at everything you touched. I was just like, this chick is killing it.
And fire.
And you just looked great. I was just obsessed.
Wow. And then the second question went, so which person, living or dead, would you like to talk to? She went, Zowie Ashton.
Zowie Ashton.
And I went, get a bit creepy now, Makita. Get a little bit creepy.
I was like, I just want to be near her.
It literally means everything to me.
She's like, stop telling that story.
No, but for you to say to me that you see what I'm doing and what I've done in the last 3 years.
I've always seen it.
It means so much to me.
From Pop World to now, I feel like there was some unspoken code between anyone, brown essentially, who was trying to navigate worlds that were not necessarily feeling hugely open. Really? That was very real. I remember the cute, like, baby doll dresses that you used to wear, and I'd be like, and the loafers, I'd be like, I could never pull that off. Can I pull that off? I'm going to try and pull it off. I will not leave it alone because it was
I think because
so
you're the same age as well.
Yes.
You're probably watching each other like, oh, she, because you know, you could
that's
like,
that's what happens, isn't
you
it?
Look a little sister in either two of you, do you know what I mean? So it's like, this girl looks
I
like me.
I wouldn't assume
she's the same age as
thank
me.
Thank you.
Me too, thank you so
I love
much.
So, Makita, this is our table. It's been the most incredible. Look, I mean, we've got new chairs. We've got everything.
I feel like it's kind of a beautiful dance that has turned into this exchange of stories and experience. And
humanity.
Yes. I love a dinner party, and I feel like we just get to have one of the best ones once a week.
Once a week, we get to sit down with people that we really, really want to talk to, and they tell us their heart and their soul.
Yeah.
It's humanity connecting. It's people having joy. It's me and Randell getting to cook.
Yeah.
It's me and you getting to have fun together.
And
apart
also,
from when, obviously, I'm annoying you.
Yeah, but also, some people have really made me laugh. Like,
hilarious.
Really, I feel like I've just been cackling around this table.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to do more.
Me
I can't
neither.
Wait to do more.
I
can't wait.
Who's next.
I can't wait to welcome more people around our table. That's a good feeling. Like, who's next? Who's next? Who's coming around for dinner?
Have you got ideas about who we're going to invite?
Yes.
I've got a lot.
Me too.
A lot.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.